You're listening to Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast discussing Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer, Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob is here to conclude our season preview podcast series, and we'll spend the entirety of this episode discussing Atletico Madrid's midfielders, a position that was under some scrutiny last season. You're going to hear that word a lot in this particular edition of the program. Who are the key players? Who needs to step up? Who needs to avoid regression? We'll discuss each player in depth and how we think they will do this season. Before we continue, you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your podcasting platform of choice. And in a very exciting announcement, we have a Patreon page that is under construction. When it is completed, we will let each of our listeners know. You can give back to the show just like we give the show to you. We'll be back after this. Lots to say about some, not so much about others.
Some's like, oh, we don't really know.
We don't really know, or we care, but we don't really want to expand upon you, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we know what that is.
Yeah. By the way, I double checked because on the last episode you recited Lucas and Jose Mas minutes, and you were dead on. Lucas played 250 more minutes. I was stunned.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, Jose Ma made 17 league appearances, only 1,013 minutes. Lucas, 15 appearances, 1,253. That's just
that
weird.
That blew me away. I looked at that like a week or so ago, just totally blew me away.
Yeah, because Jose Ma had a lot of those like sub-appearances where Simeone threw him on like the final 2 or 3 minutes just to grind out a result, and I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him certainly a lot more. I mean, I felt like I saw him play way more than I did Lucas.
Yeah, me too. He also got hurt more than Lucas.
Yeah, that's true, so I thought about it more.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the midfielders after that little tidbit. Midfield is very interesting for Atletico. Maybe not in a great way. Last season, the midfield was subject to a lot of scrutiny because early in the season, a lot of the focus was Koke is finally going to move to the middle and, you know, Atletico are going to become this attacking force. And, oh, wait, they're getting crushed 2-0 and 3-0.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, because it's long been thought that, you know, Koke can go and play in that too, but I think kind of definitively we learned that he cannot.
Yeah, and we will address Koke a little later on, but that's pretty much the crux of my argument.
Yeah,
is what happened. Main problem. Is what happened with Koke in the middle of the 4-4-2 last year. But in midfield, we had some really good performances out of players last season. Carrasco, Saul in particular. This season, it's going to be interesting again because Atleti might be moving to a three-man midfield, which means there are fewer spots to compete for. Atletico are also relying on a January acquisition in the form of Vitolo. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this midfield shapes up. It's going to be, I think it's possibly the most vulnerable area of the team. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's certainly pretty thin, especially if they are going to play a three in terms of central midfielders. That leaves us with five in total, which, I mean, that's decent enough for some rotation, but not ideal if one or two players go down injured.
Well, luckily, it looks like there is going to be a bit of strength in depth. This year, last season, there were a lot of injuries and a lot of inconsistencies, which meant, you know, Koke and Saul and Gabby had to play almost every single week. This season, that may not be the case.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. We'll start with Katie Barre, 19 years old. The Albanian, Canterano, looks like he's going to be in the first team. He was extremely impressive this preseason, wasn't he?
Yeah, he looked really good in the Audi Cup in particular. And yeah, I mean, he does look very good. Another promising player that could potentially find himself involved in the first team because of the lack of replacements that Atleti were able to get.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, I think I mentioned this on Monday's episode, one of the reasons why Atletico sold Kranaviter is that Katie Barre looks like he's going to step up and take his place. He's a pretty versatile player. He can play in an attacking role when shielded by more defensive holding type pivots, or he can play as, you know, a traditional central midfielder And that versatility is going to be big. It's always important to bed in those young players in the team, get them some experience. I don't really see a downside to it. We'll see how he does.
No, I don't see a downside in it either. I think it's going to be good to get him some minutes. And against the big boy competition, we can see how good he really is.
Yeah, and he's been on Simeone's radar for about 3 years now. He was first called up to train with the first team when he was 16. So he's been eyed by Cholo for a few years now, and he got his debut in the Copa against Las Palmas last year. He scored against Liverpool in the Audi Cup. It looks like now is his chance. He's going to get a little bit of time this season, and we're going to see what we have here. I'm looking forward to him. I'm excited to see what he's got.
Yeah, I think so as well. And 19's always like that. You sort of think of it as kind of the breakout age, because before that you're just a little bit too young, I think.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And if he gets appearances, they're probably going to be against the smaller teams.
And in the cup as well.
Yeah, in the cup, definitely. Before January, can't really see him playing against, you know, a Madrid or a Barcelona or like a Villarreal.
No, I would really hope not.
No, can't really see that coming. But you know, I'm excited to see him and what he has to offer when the games finally start to count, which is less than 48 hours from now. I'm so excited.
Whew, finally.
Let's talk about Vitolo next.
Okay.
As he's not going to be in the team until January. He will be at Las Palmas until January as a result of that incredibly bootleg transfer deal. You know, it's funny.
Yes.
I went back and listened to our episode when Sevilla's president announced that he was going to sign the renewal. I went back last night and listened to it. I did not realize how upset I sounded.
You were so upset.
I sounded so mad.
I said it on the episode after that. I was like, you were so mad.
I was like simmering. I didn't mean to be. I was so mad. So I went back and listened.
I mean, it was the most annoying transfer ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Costa thing might be surpassing it.
It's getting there.
Yeah, because you know, we had the legal issue in this transfer as well. Why can't Atletico just get this done? Anyway, other teams can, but anyway, yeah, Vitolo is a Las Palmas player until January when he will make his way from the Canary Islands to Madrid. Pretty good acquisition, I'd say. Not Atleti's biggest need, but he's a long-term Simeone target. He does fill a need. He's extremely versatile. He can play on either wing. He can even play through the middle when called upon. How do you think Vitolo's going to fit in? What kind of role do you think he'll have?
In general, I kind of think that he'll probably be the first choice right-sided midfielder when he comes in. But as you say, he is a versatile player, and I think it's good to have that kind of utility sort of player in the team as well, a guy that can do a lot of different things very well, if nothing particularly spectacular. Because he does have faults in his game, but I think he is a good acquisition. But as you said, you know, this is a part of the team where, you know, we needed a bit of an upgrade because we don't really have the best of right-sided midfielders at the moment. So if he can take a big step forward in that position for us, and he's a veteran as well of the league.
Yeah, he's going to be 28 this year.
Right, so he knows what to do. And I know it's kind of an overrated thing to say he knows the league, but still, it matters to some extent. So I think that'll help him settle in faster, rather.
I've got a couple things on Vitolo. Number one, I think the biggest thing he could add is his dribbling. He averaged something like three successful dribbles per 90 minutes last season. That's big. No one else other than Carrasco really came close to that in terms of that position, so I think that will be important. And I also think that Vitolo's acquisition is the clearest sign yet that Simeone intends to go to 4-3-3 and he intends to play it more and more often. Other than the whole Koke, Saul, Gabby debate, which we'll have a little later on, Vitolo, his acquisition is intended to add some more dynamism to the team because he can play opposite Carrasco in a 4-4-2, but he can also play as a wide forward. And with his pace and his dribbling and his ability to pass with his eye for goal, that could prove valuable.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a player that Atleti probably, I mean, as you say, is a long-term target. And I think also outside of him being useful as a player for the team, I think it also kind of helps make Simeone not be totally upset about what's going on with this team construction at the moment.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I think he will help, even though he may have been their second or even third biggest need, depending on what you think of the central midfield situation. I think he'll be good. It's better to have him than to not have him, I think. And I will be closely monitoring how he does at Las Palmas. That's going to be an interesting team because Kevin Prince-Boateng has just rescinded his contract and gone back to Germany.
Yes, and
That's even more pressure.
Hesse won't be coming back as well.
Yeah, that's no great loss.
Yeah, well, true. He was just going to get even fatter.
Wow. Ether.
Well, just, that does tend to happen out there on those Canary Islands. It's a beautiful place.
You just ethered him. Yeah, we got to make sure Vitolo doesn't like gain 20 pounds because Simeone will kill him.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, and Diego Costa, we're going to be on Weight Watchers this year.
He will come back on January 1st. He'll have gained 15 pounds, and Cholo will just start breathing fire. It'll be bad, man.
But he'll have a nice tan.
He will have a very nice tan. Might have a few more tattoos.
I think that's a guarantee.
But yeah, don't get hurt, Vitolo. Stay in shape, and we'll see you in January. Have fun at Las Palmas.
Yeah, I think they probably, honestly, they need him more than we do moment.
Yeah, they are.
So they don't go down.
They're a mess. Didn't they just renew Boateng's contract, too?
Yeah, I thought they extended it or, like, took up an option halfway through last year or something like that.
They're in rough shape. So they're really going to need him.
Yeah.
I mean, you have him and Jonathan Vieira. You should be... And Lemos is still there, so you should be okay, but they've lost...
I mean, they lost their big players this summer. Lost
two really big players.
Yeah, big time.
Although they've also been linked with Marcos Llorente, so if they get him on loan, that would really help.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. I mean, I don't know how prepared he would be to be a starter in a relegation-threatened team, but... We shall see.
I will be the conductor on the Marcos Llorente to Atleti train if Zidane keeps dropping him or keeps sending him out on loan.
Okay, fair enough. They owe us one.
They do. I will be the conductor of that train.
Okay, fair. That is noted. I will make sure to remember that when he scores against us.
Stop. Shut up. Okay, moving on now, before we get too off target with our fantasies. Nico Gaitán. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
So, this was fun. Gaitán came in last summer, and I recognize that we kind of said the same things about him that we're saying about Vitolo now. He was brought in, he has this dynamic range of passing, and he's really versatile, and he'll change how Atleti play, and he might get double digits in goals and assists. None of those things happened. Why? What happened here, Rob?
He was just bad. I mean, he looked out of his depth most of the time that he played, to be honest with you. I think I've said it a few times, but I do think the best game that I saw him play for Atleti last year was against Guijuelo, which is
not good.
Scary. He wasn't very good. But I think kind of the difference between him and the Vitolo situation is that he was coming from Benfica, which the Portuguese league, I kind of feel like you're rolling the dice on players that come from Portuguese league. Atleti been burned now a couple times on that one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's no good. I don't think he fit in the team in the way that they thought he would. He's kind of a one-dimensional player. I didn't really think he offered a whole lot going
forward. His work rate was under scrutiny a lot last season. But I do have an interesting Gaitán stat for you.
Oh, okay. Yes, let's hear it.
According to Who Scored, per 90 minutes, Nico Gaitán averaged 1.8 key passes. That is second on the team behind Coco.
Interesting.
It is interesting because you watched Gaitán and you're saying he doesn't really track back. He has a very short leash. But yet you look at the numbers, and he averaged nearly two key passes per 90 minutes, and he only played 1,000 minutes. I think there may be something there that is useful. He can pass.
I think so, and I think that his Atleti time was saved by this transfer registration ban thing.
Oh, definitely. He would have been gone. He would have been out the door if their ban had been lifted.
Oh, yeah, big time. But... So he has a chance to prove himself. The worry is that, at 29 years old, if the problem is that he was adjusting to the league, which I don't really believe, but I think that, he could, I guess. He's an experienced player, but even still, I don't really trust him to make that big step forward.
Yeah, the bad news about Gaitán is that he was dispossessed quite a bit last season.
Yeah.
Among Atleti midfielders, he was second in how often he was dispossessed per 90 minutes. Only Carrasco was dispossessed more often.
Yeah, he has that problem of, like, running down into dark alleys where there's, like, three defenders. In dark alleys. And like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah. Mm. But he can pass the ball. We have seen that. And he had this little run of form in the early in the new year, which made us optimistic, but then that went away. And he ended up getting key minutes in a Champions League semifinal against Real Madrid and falling flat on his face.
Yeah, that was terrible.
So he's going to be on a short leash again. I mean, he's been on a short leash ever since he signed for Atletico, which, fair or unfair, you can say what you will about it. I happen to think it may have been a little unfair that Simeone kind of never let him run free a whole lot, but he's going to be on a tight leash again, and he's got to take advantage of his minutes when he gets them.
Yeah, big time, because he never really got any consistent playing time last year, and he has to adapt to the Simeone way of tracking back and working very hard on and off the ball.
And he didn't.
If he's going to start at all.
He didn't really often do that. He only played 1,023 minutes over 23 league appearances last year.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
That's pretty bad. He's getting a lot of garbage time with those sub minutes.
What do you think is in store for him this year?
Well, he got 3 goals in the league, which is honestly more than I would have guessed. I really don't believe in Nico Gaitán, and I know that's horrible to say, but I'd say maybe 4 goals, but maybe more assists, because he only had 2. So based on, you know, his passing, I'll give him 4 assists and 4 goals. But that's about all I'll bring myself to expect.
That seems reasonable. I think he's going to play more, especially in the first half of the season. If he doesn't do well, Atleti will get rid of him in January. If he does well, I mean, can't hurt to have him in the team. So I will say he stays for the whole season, and I will say he scores 5 goals and chips in with 3 assists.
Yeah, I think that works. I think around 8 combined goals 8 combined, and assists is about as much as we can expect.
Yeah, he had just a weird season. Hopefully he will normalize this season, because he could be important if he takes advantage of his chances.
He could be, and I think you're right. I think he'll get a lot of minutes in that first part of the season especially.
Let's take a look at Augusto next. And, God, your heart just
breaks. A guy we haven't seen for a year.
Your heart just breaks for this guy. Augusto played only 3 games last season, 143 minutes. He tore his ACL against Deportivo, which is always a good thing to have happen, especially when you're 30 years old.
Yeah, that's not worrisome at all about your future physical condition.
Yeah, but when Augusto plays, like, we see how good he is, how important he is to that midfield. Atleti signed him in January of 2016 from Celta Vigo. Celta were not very happy at how it went down. But Rob, if you could sum up his importance, how would you say it? How would you sum it up?
I think he's a very reliable player, and I think that those kinds of players are hard to come across, especially in central midfield. He's kind of one of those guys where if you had an injury to a player and you had to put him in the team, you wouldn't really be that worried about it, even if he hadn't played for some amount of time, as he has with this ACL injury. And I think he could be important in that way because, I mean, injuries will happen to one of the 3 most important midfielders, central midfielders for Atleti. So I think he could play a big role this season. He's clearly been very antsy to get back, posting all these gym workout videos and stuff. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him play again to see where he's at physically. I'm sure they won't rush him back at all. They'll probably sort of ease him back into it with some sub-appearances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I doubt he starts this weekend against Girona. But speaking more toward what Augusto can do when he's out there, he made 13 appearances in La Liga for Atletico in 2015-16, his last full season, led the team in interceptions per 90 minutes, 3.7 per. That's really good. That's really good. So
Very good.
He is really smart tactically. He's a really smart player, and he is able to just get to those spots. He's really physical, but not aggressive. And we missed that last season because Gabby was really the only player we had. And at the time of his injury, I kind of downplayed it and said, you know, it's early in the season. We'll see if he comes back. And even if he doesn't, you know, Atletico are going to play differently anyway. And Atletico didn't really make that huge a leap into how they played last season. And it ended up being Gabby playing all the games. And, you know, Gabby can't do everything.
Yeah, that's right. And I think when you have that sort of defensive player, not even as a starting player when someone's out or whatever, but even coming off the bench, if you need to secure a result late in games, as is often the case with Atleti, then he'll be very useful, I think.
Yeah, more so in a 4-4-2, which won't require as much physical exertion from him. Seeing right. him in a 4-3-3 would probably not be great. But yeah, he offers versatility and that he'll allow Simeone to stick with the 4-4-2, which is the bread and butter, as we know. And he'll allow Gabby, Saul, and Koke to get rest.
Which we will desperately need.
Yeah, probably. How many games do you think he's going to play?
I'd say probably he'll start about 13, I think. But I think he'll come off the bench a lot more than that. I think he'll probably have a little more than 10 sub-appearances.
I'm kind of confident he'll get to 25 games this season. And he'll probably end up starting 15 of them because, knowing Cholo, he will start him a couple times and he'll go on a run with him.
Right.
He'll probably end up making more starts than sub-appearances, but you know, whatever the case, it's really going to be good to have him back. And hopefully, I can't assume he will be as good as he was two seasons ago. He's 31 now and he's coming off a pretty devastating knee injury. But he's another body. He's more than just another warm body. Like, it'll be really good to see him play again. And he could really help.
Yeah, and my hope is that despite the fact that that is a colossal injury that he suffered, pace was never really a main thing for him. So hopefully it doesn't affect him outside of just his speed, which it won't matter a huge amount if he lost a step, which we imagine he probably will have, given the nature of that surgery.
And he will be brought along with kid gloves. I don't think you're going to see him much before the first international break.
Get some sub minutes.
They're going to want to avoid having what happened to him last year happen again. It'll be devastating if he gets hurt again.
Yeah, and we have seen that happen before in the game. I mean, people get rushed back from injuries, even if it's been a while, because he has been in recovery for quite some time, but you still don't want to take any chances with that. Yeah,
he hasn't made an official appearance in 11 months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, there was talk at the end of last season he could come back for a little while, but Eletti wisely decided not to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with ACLs. Yeah.
That would have been very, very dumb. Okay, moving on to Gabby now.
Yes, the most important player on the team.
The ageless wonder, arguably Atleti's best midfielder, if you consider the entirety of last season. But he's 34, and he's in the last year of his contract. And I have concerns. Do you share these concerns?
I mean, I think you kind of have to have some concern once you get over the age 32 season. Because just kind of wondering when that big decline is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great last year, but do you think he's going to be as solid as he's been or make as many appearances? Because he played in 33 games last year.
Yeah, and he hit 4,000 minutes again, which is a lot of football for someone now in his mid-30s. Gabby, I kind of see it both ways. Gabby hasn't shown anything that says a decline is imminent. I mean, he was marvelous the year they won the title. He kind of had a dip in form the next season. He wasn't very good. But the last two seasons, he's been magnificent. As I said, I think he was Atleti's best midfielder last season. I don't think you'd lose that overnight. I mean, he hasn't shown anything that says, you know, oh, he's going to miss time with an injury. Oh, his form is really going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah, the big worry is that he picks up an injury this season.
Yeah, that is the concern. Atleti are in a position where they kind of need him to be healthy. If he plays 25 or more games, he will get a one-year extension. I think he will sail past that without any problems. His durability has always been like a cornerstone of his game. Last season, he was the team's best tackler. He averaged nearly 4 per 90 minutes, just ahead of Saul and just ahead of Augusto when Augusto played. So he's still very effective.
Yeah, and he's huge in terms of making that pivot work in midfield. I mean, without him, it just kind of falls to pieces.
And I also think something that has helped him last longer is that he's changed the way he's played. Like, I wrote about this back in April after Atleti beat Malaga, early April. He has changed from kind of a more wild, erratic, tough-tackling player to a more disciplined, measured pivot who really relies more on his guile rather than his force, rather than his power. He picks up yellow cards at a lower rate than he used to, but he's still very effective in terms of tackling, especially in terms of his interceptions, which have gone up.
Yeah, he's such a smart player in terms of how he reads the game. He just seems to know what's going to happen at every moment, and it's such a pleasure to watch him play, and it has been for the last couple years at least.
And he's never going to get a call up to the Spanish team.
Which is really, really a shame. Because, really you know, the corpse of Andres Iniesta is still around.
Ouch.
I'm just saying. He looks old.
Yeah, it really is a shame that Gabby is never going to play for the senior team. I mean, I do think he cares a lot, but Atletico have his heart.
And it's good for Atleti that he doesn't play international matches.
It is, especially at 34 years old. So yes, I'm going to toe an optimistic line with Gabby here. I mean, this is a guy who has played at least 46 games in all comps every year since he came back to Atletico in 2011. 49, 46, 57, 48, 51, and 50 last year. He doesn't get hurt.
He's a beast.
So I'm going to toe a line of optimism and say he will be fine for this year. I'm going to say he may suffer a little bit of a dip in form, but nothing too notable, nothing too significant. I think he'll be fine. And I say he's going to cruise past 30 league appearances. I think he scores a goal this year. He scored only one goal in the last three seasons. I think he scores one this year.
All right. Wow. I think that's the more bold of the two
and
picks.
it'll be a big goal, too. It'll be like a match winner.
It'll be like that one against Real Madrid.
Yeah, in the title winning season. Derby. The howitzer from well outside the box.
That was a beauty. Yeah, I'd like to see that again.
Yeah, it'll be in one of those games.
Yeah, I have a hard time saying that Gabby's going to do poorly just because I love him as a player too much.
I can't see him declining that much in one year.
No. I think that you're right that we probably will see a bit of a decline in terms of his overall game, but I don't think it'll be anything too terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll probably make well over 30 league appearances as a starter.
Yeah, I'd say he's going to be fine, and he will get that one-year renewal, and everyone will be happy.
Everyone certainly will be happy. I think year after this one is when we may sort of be treading on thin ice in terms of when he's gonna hit the wall in terms of his age and playing ability.
Yeah, hopefully it's not this year because they kind of can't buy anyone to replace him yet. So
yeah, hopefully be good. It's next year.
Be good, Gabby. Be good. Speaking of a possible Gabby replacement, though, let's move on to Tomas.
Yay!
Let's have some party time.
Yay! Everyone loves Tomas.
Yes, he is one of your favorites. He's one of mine as well. And he's going to play a role this season, Matt. He's going to play a bigger role. He's got the number 5 shirt, which means playing time. What do you see from him this season? Why do you like him so much? You've written extensively about him.
I have. I think that he's just a very talented player. I think that's kind of easy to see, not just from a physical standpoint. I think he proved last year when he played at right back that he's an intelligent player, because that's well outside of his comfort zone in terms of where he would normally want to play, but that he kind of slotted right into that role. Obviously, he wasn't perfect, but he adapted very well to it, I thought. And that's a trait in players which Simeone likes, and I think he kind of proved himself a little bit to Cholo last season that he's capable of contributing big minutes to the team when they need it, wherever it is on the pitch. But hopefully, because of getting Thiago's shirt number, that means big things in the center of midfield and blowing people up in big tackles, which I want to see very badly.
Yeah, he only played 630 minutes last season. That's not a lot.
Yeah, mostly sub appearances.
And he's gonna get more. He had to play right back that final month of the season when Atleti really had a crisis there, and he held his own. He absolutely held his own. He is versatile. He is physical. He's a quick player too.
Very.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
He's one of those guys that when he gets going running, you don't really want to be the guy trying to stop
him.
Yeah,
he's kind of a tank.
Yeah, he's I like that a lot in players.
He's not huge physically, but you know he's
he can get some momentum going, that's for sure.
And he's shown that he can be a bit of a playmaker. He's shown that he has some ability in the final third. Scored that peach of a goal against Las Palmas last April. As shown, he is more comfortable advancing into the final third than he was in past seasons. But at the end of the day, his bread and butter is as a destroyer, especially that second leg against Bayer Leverkusen.
Yes,
when he
exactly.
started, and he just broke up every damn thing in the middle of the park.
And you love to see that from a defensive midfielder. And if they move to a three and Gabby becomes that sort of main defensive midfielder, then I think Tomas would be the ideal backup for him.
Yeah.
Because he's a different player to Gabby in a lot of ways, but I think they also share some of the similar explosive defensive traits.
You could see like an all Canterano midfield three with Saul, Koke, and Tomas. I think we will see that this season.
Yeah, I think we will too. Whether it's as subs, but even still, it'd be beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I think he really did show Cholo a lot last season, and this is kind of his make or break at Atleti. Not in terms of anything he's done, but in terms of how Cholo views him. He's 24 now. He's been like the last two seasons since he came back from his loan. In the last two seasons, he has been looked at as kind of a fringe player, and now he's going to get his chance. He's going to get his time to shine. I think he'll take it.
Yeah, I think he will too. I think he'll definitely get a lot more chances, and I know squad numbers don't mean that much, but I think it's a big step that they gave him Thiago's old number, who was such an important player for the team for several years, not so much last year, but in years prior, so I think that's a good step forward for old Thomas.
I think he's going to at least double his minutes played. He'll get around 1,200, and that'll be plenty for him.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot may end up being as subs, but I think as well in games where they want to give Gabby a rest, which would be ideal because as he gets older, he'll need more games off. So if they can get him some matches where maybe it's not so important that he plays, then Thomas would slot right in there.
And I never hope I see him at right back.
Yeah, please,
I don't want to see that. As good as he was, I don't want to see it.
No, hopefully Fasolko and Juan Fran are fine for most of next season.
Hopefully they hold him down. Fingers crossed. But no, Tomas is going to get time this year. It's going to be really good. I think he'll be really good. And he will maybe be good enough to leave Simeone confident that the replacement for Gabby is in-house. And you won't have to go shell out $40 million for Fabinho or Dendonka or any of the other guys that they've been linked with.
Yeah, and not that any of those guys aren't brilliant, but it would be fantastic if we could get that for freebies.
For free, yeah.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, it's better to promote than, well, considering how much trouble Atleti have had spending money this summer, you don't really want to go shell out that money on someone unless you truly need them.
Right, and the players that come from the academy are so beloved, it's always fun to see them come up.
Moving on to, well, this guy is not an academy man, but he's really important nonetheless. I think he will be the breakout star this season. Yannick Carrasco.
He's an exciting player. There's no doubt about it.
I hate his haircut, but I love how he plays.
He got a new haircut?
You've seen it. It's like it looks like Arda's old haircut.
Yeah,
he got it basically shaved.
The shaved head. No, he had such nice hair though.
Beautiful hair. What caused the change? Yeah, beautiful, like a pompadour. It was beautiful.
That is a shame.
Now that's like he had pizzazz. It had flash.
And now we have to think about that other guy.
No, I choose not to. But
he's gone.
Yeah, but Carrasco had an interesting season last year. He scored 14 goals in all competitions, which was second in the team. He hit double digits in La Liga. He was one of three Atletico players to do that, but he didn't score against very good teams. You could argue he was a little bit of a flat track bully.
Yeah, I might agree with you on that one. He certainly did have better luck against some of the weaker sides that he faced up against.
All right, so Carrasco's goal breakdown from last season. He scored 3 times against Granada. He scored 3 times against Osasuna. He scored twice against Malaga and once each against Celta and Sporting.
Those are all pretty bad teams.
3 of those teams got relegated.
That's bad.
All of them were in the bottom half.
Yeah, and I mean, you need a guy to score in those games, but for a player as talented as Carrasco who scored in a Champions League final, you kind of expect a little bit more from him in the big games where he hasn't really turned up.
And Atleti were unbeaten, were perfect in La Liga when he scored. 6 wins, no draws, no losses when he scored.
It was a very weird season from Carrasco. He wasn't fantastic, but he just racked up a bunch of goals against kind of crappy teams.
And he literally went 3 months without scoring.
Yeah.
And Atleti can't have that happen again.
No, like with Griezmann, that was also the problem there. We can't have these big, long droughts for our most important attacking player.
For key players, otherwise Atleti probably aren't going to score.
Right, exactly. And he is probably the second most talented attacking player Atleti have at the moment.
Oh, he's awesome. He's extremely talented. He has world-class potential. I mean, he is probably the fastest player on the team, other than, I think he's faster than Griezmann and Gamero, and he's incredibly quick. He's,
I think so, yeah.
His intelligence is an issue. I mean, not off the pitch, obviously, but on the pitch, he doesn't really make good decisions often.
Yeah, he kind of has the Correa problem in that sense.
Yeah, but Correa led the team in assists, though.
Yeah, true. Clearly, he's smarter than we think he is.
But Simeone, at the start of last season, said he wanted him to shoot more, so Carrasco shot more. The problem is he, a lot of times, made counterattacks his own. And, like, you have Griezmann, and you have Gamero, and you have, you know, Correa, and you have other guys who also want the ball. Like, there were so many counterattacks that fizzled out because he would just decide to blaze the ball into, like, the 10th row.
Yeah, he does need to be a little bit better about where he's taking his shots from, because I feel like a lot of them, I'll have to look at it to make sure I'm not wrong on this, but I feel like he shot more outside the box than he probably should have.
Let me try to find that stat for you. I once again turn to the Colchonero chat hold music.
Yes, exactly.
Of which there is none. While yes, I find this. Okay, what stat were you looking for?
Okay. Yes, he did. He shot, on average, 2 shots per game outside the box while only shooting 1.3 shots per 90 from in the penalty area.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a trait exclusive to him. I mean, Griezmann takes a ton of shots outside the box. And I think Atletico, the last couple seasons, have been in the top 2 or 3 in terms of goals scored from outside the box.
But true, but Griezmann also did not average more shots from outside the box than inside.
I actually think that's true, yeah. I mean, Carrasco just has to be a little smarter, and because he's so dangerous. And if he puts his physical and like his physical gifts with his like, with, and he acquires some mental ones, oh, he'll be so good. I think he will take the leap this season.
It's definitely possible for him this year.
Yeah, I think he hits 15 league goals, and I think he will kind of elevate himself into the discussion of world class wingers. I'm really high on him.
I think that he really, if he does take that step forward, then Atleti could be in a very competitive position in a lot of different competitions.
Absolutely.
This season.
When he scores, like I said, when he scored last season in La Liga, they were 6-0. Like, they were perfect when he scored. And if he can do that more consistently without going through 3-month rough patches, if he can, you know, get his attitude in line, and if he can play a little smarter, then there's nothing really stopping him. The sky is the limit for him.
Yeah, that was part of the problem last season, was he was a little bit grumpy whenever he'd get subbed off.
He's a bit of a sourpuss, yeah. And
yes, he is. I mean, and he was like, oh, it's not that I'm mad at the coach, I'm mad at myself. I don't necessarily believe you.
That attitude doesn't fly, but Simeone knows how important he is and how good he is now and how good he can still get.
Right, and he's another one of these players where it's like he really needs to stay healthy this year because he had a couple knocks. Nothing serious, yeah, but he had a couple knocks last year.
Niggles, which led to him starting on the bench, and Atleti are better when he starts. I think they're better when he starts right from the offing.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So I've got him at 15 goals this season, and he hits 20 in all comps, I think.
I think that's definitely possible. I think that's probably a realistic expectation for a player as talented as he is. I think I'd also like to see him chip in a little bit more with some assists because he needs to do that a little bit more as well, because he can get into such dangerous positions, and a lot of times you just need to lay it off rather than just go for it yourself.
There are lots of ways that Atleti could do this. You could have Costa in the middle with Griezmann and Carrasco on either side. That'll get you assists. You can have Torres in the middle. You can have Carrasco and Vitolo on either side of a striker, on either side of Griezmann. I mean, there are a lot of ways Simeone can do this.
So. Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how Atleti start the season, whether they stick with old reliable or if they're going to start off trying to do something different.
2 midfielders left. They're both Canteranos. Let's go with Saul first.
Big breakout year from him last year.
Man, he's brilliant. His season didn't start so well. Up until like December, he really wasn't that good. And a lot of it might have been his kidneys acting up because of, well, you know the story by now. But
yeah, it's a little gross.
After December, he was their best midfielder. He was awesome. He scores big goals. He does everything. He can defend. He can pass. He can dribble. He can shoot. He does everything. complete midfielder at 22 years old.
Yeah, and he's perfect for the system as well. He's very clearly such a Diego Simeone player. He works so hard defensively as well as offensively because he does go up the field as much as he can because he is the perfect box-to-box midfielder, really, because he can do a little bit of everything.
And we've discussed before how, I mean, I think we both agree on this, he's better in a three than he is in a four.
Yeah.
It gives him a lot more flexibility. You saw this at the under-21 Euros, how good he was in that 4-3-3. He was just free to roam about, like, and do everything. And he did. He was phenomenal at that tournament. I think it did give Simeone something to chew on.
And he does all the unsexy stuff, like tracking back. You saw that in the under-21 Euro when they maybe not wouldn't have expected him to do that as much as Diego Simeone would, but he was still back there defending. It's amazing.
Yep, and that's the impact Simeone has had on his game and has on players when they go away to international duty. Like, they surprise their coaches by tracking back, and they surprise their coaches by winning those little 50-50 balls.
Right, and it's not like he's not like an English manager where he's just going to scream at you to track back. He more shows you that it's very valuable to do so.
Yeah. We've had two full seasons now of Sal as a starter. A little inconsistent last season, but in the second half he was great. I think he continues that. I think he puts in a full season as Atleti's best midfielder, and he steps up and becomes one of the best midfielders on the continent.
I think that can definitely happen.
In the next year or two, you're going to see him start to be regarded as that. He's so good.
I think he'll definitely start upwards of 25 games this season.
Yeah,
if absolutely. All goes well injury-wise.
Yeah, I think he'll be healthy, and I think he will take control of that midfield. And he's also signed to 2026, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was great that he signed a new contract. He's very clearly in love with the club, which you gotta really appreciate about a player in this day and age.
He also threw some serious shade at Teo in his press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
that was
oh,
amazing.
We don't care about people who don't care about the club. Like, oh, go, Sal, go. Tell him.
We love you. We love you even more. He's the guy, and he scores, so, as you say, very important goals. He did
against Bayern Munich. He always manages to score critical goals. Like, the goal against Leicester when, like, he had scored that vein-popping header. The first against Leverkusen, yeah. The goal to start what might have been a great comeback against Real Madrid. He just scores the big goals, and they're always the opening goal, too. It's
and
impressive.
They're beauties. Yeah. They're always beauties.
I don't think he's ever scored, like, a conventional goal in his life.
maybe that's an area he needs to pick up, scoring really ugly goals, because I don't really remember too many ugly ones. I remember the bicycle kick against Real Madrid.
Yeah, that was our first real introduction to him, was that bicycle kick in the derby, and
that was amazing.
Ever since then, he's tried to top himself.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't, get any tap-ins.
That goal against Bayern's going to be hard to top.
Yeah, the goal against Bayern, which he did, that did top the derby goal. But you don't see him getting, like, tap-ins from 3 feet. You don't see him getting headers off on the line. Even his headers are, like, crazy acrobatic.
Yeah, and he gets really good contact on his headers as well. For a guy that's not enormous, I mean, he's not a small guy, but he's not very tall.
He's an athlete, and
yes,
he's
big time.
He's a Cholismo guy, and he embraces the system, and I think the system is going to embrace him right back because Simeone is going to play more to his strengths.
And I think that's the good thing, because we worry about Gabby taking a step back potentially because of his age, but then we have players like Thomas and Saul ready to sort of make that step forward, so it's not altogether that worrying.
Yeah, the future in midfield, I mean, right now it's a little muddy, but I think with a summer of spending next year, it'll become a bit more clear. And depending on how we start this season, it'll become a bit more clear.
Yes, very much so.
Last guy is Koke, and Koke was quite the lightning rod of, maybe not controversy, I've said scrutiny like twice already in this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. Scrutiny.
Yes.
Yeah, he did not have a very good season last year.
No, he did not.
No.
At all.
And it was a problem because an out-of-form Koke means bad things for Atletico.
I would say so, yeah, because he is such a talented player. He's one of the most talented players in the team, I would say, in terms of his ability. But he really just couldn't impact the matches in the way that he has in years past.
Yeah, Koke is one of those guys that born and bred in the academy, bleeds red and white. He also signed a huge renewal this summer. He's going to be here a while. Edleti's future is kind of tied to him. And last season was not a great one for Koke optimists. What happened?
I think he was played out of position a lot because it became very clear that in a midfield two, he wasn't very good. And he's certainly not a right winger at all. He's probably best as a number 10, but I don't think that position will ever exist for Atletico under Diego Simeone. But I think in a midfield three, where some of his defensive liabilities could be a little bit alleviated by two other players backing him up, then I think maybe he would shine a little bit more than he did.
I think we've seen enough from him at this point, and he's 25 going on 26 this year. I think we've seen enough from him at this point to say he's not going to be the central midfielder in a 4-4-2.
No.
Edleti lose solidity when he plays in the middle in that particular formation. He's also not a winger. Clearly not. He doesn't have the pace to be a winger. He's also not a number 10. And this is kind of the issue with Koke. Where is he at his best? And heading into this season, I'm still not sure. I think it's as a central midfielder in a 4-3-3.
I think it has to be.
That will allow Simeone to play him off to one side, if not in the middle, probably off to one side, while not making him a winger and compromising Atleti's pace and their width.
Yeah, and last season was the first time he hasn't hit double figures in assists in the league since basically he broke through, and he wasn't able to impact matches as much as someone who's as talented as he is, who has the ability that he does to deliver those perfect balls as he has in the past. Admittedly, a lot of times from corners, but even still, he's an extremely good passer.
He is. I like him better in the middle rather than on the wing.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, he can cross somewhat, but not to a winger level, really, and he's not that fast.
And his set-piece delivery is just not that great anymore.
It used to be so good. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, it's a little concerning.
I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of the most successful Atleti teams, is you see Saul taking a set, or rather Koke taking a set piece, and it's perfect, generally onto the head of Diego Godin. So I don't know what happened. I really don't. That's worth investigating.
I think more than anything, Koke is going to be the player to watch in this midfield, because it's kind of as he goes, Atleti go, where he plays kind of dictates how Atleti are going to do on a given day.
He has the most to prove, I think.
I kind of think so, too, although the club would disagree because they just gave him a huge contract.
True.
But
well, true.
I think he has something to prove this summer, this year, especially ahead of next summer when it's the World Cup. I think he has quite a bit to prove to show he can stay in one place at this team and he can thrive in a fixed position.
Yeah, I think the World Cup is going to be a big motivator for him because that's a stacked Spain midfield and he's going to have to perform well to get into it, I think.
And start consistently. I mean, Lopetegui likes him, which is good for his chances to start. I think Koke does have a lot to prove. I think he will prove it. I think he'll have a better season this year. Especially because I think, and I hope, please, that Simeone will play more of a standard 4-3-3 rather than what he did last year, which was 4-4-2 in defense, Koke kind of drifting more toward the middle to lead a counterattack. That also isn't what Koke is best at. I think having him in a fixed position is where he's at his best. And I hope that we are closer than ever to getting there.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that this season last season we certainly saw how unsuccessful he can be in a two as well as on the wing. So there's no choice but to put him into this a more balanced midfield role, I think.
And he can do so much, but the problem with doing so much is that you don't often know what exactly he does because he tries to do a little bit of everything. Especially when he plays on the wing, because he can often get kind of sucked into tracking back and defending rather than doing what I think the team needs more from him, which is pass and kind of take on
a
leadership
defender.
Role. And yeah, I think he's fine. And his effort is great, and he has shown that he can do a job there, but it's not what he's best at.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think if he can have sort of that... He can be sort of the main man in the middle of Atleti's midfield in terms of ball circulation and just making sure that things are going well, because that is kind of his best role, is ensuring that all the passes get to where they need to go.
And you have a guy now who is positioned to be the team's captain whenever Gabby leaves.
Yeah, so big
it's,
time.
It's time that he kind of takes control in that midfield and becomes like a general in there. He's been with the team long enough. He's been under Simeone's instruction long enough. This is a big year for him.
And he's had a lot of success at Atleti without really finding his best spot.
Yeah, and you could argue that leaves one optimistic. I think he does get back to double-digit assists this year.
I think that was a blip last year.
Let's say 5 goals, 11 assists, which will rank up toward the leaders of the league.
Yeah, I think so. I think he may get a few more assists. I think he may be a little bit closer to maybe around 13. But just I really like watching Koke play, so I think that I think he'll have a big season next year as well.
Yeah, I think he'll be better. I don't really think there's a doubt about that. All right, that does it, Rob. That's our season preview right there.
All right, we've done them both.
That's our player preview. Do you want to give predictions? I mean, we do have the roundtable coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I can pull that up so I can see what I make sure I don't contradict myself here. I was somewhat ballsy in my overall predictions
yeah, you were.
Here. So yeah. You want to start? You can go first.
Okay. In terms of La Liga, how La Liga is going to go, I think Atleti are going to finish third. I know there's a lot of worrying around Barcelona right now. They still have Messi. They're going to be fine. I don't really see them slipping past second. I mean, Madrid are obviously going to win the league, but Barcelona will be right behind them. Atleti will be third. They'll be fighting with Villarreal for a lot of the year for third. Villarreal, I think, will eventually fade, and they'll end up getting fourth, and then Sevilla will finish fifth.
I think that's probably reasonable. I said second because I do think that Barcelona have potential to be a dumpster fire next season.
As fun as that would
their
be.
Their most important players are aging in a not-so-graceful kind of way. So I'm worried for them. Not that I like Barcelona in any kind of way, but I don't think that they'll be very good. Or as good as they have been in the past. Messi is amazing. He'll never not be amazing, but he can't do it all.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. They have him, and he can win matches on his own against the big teams. We've seen it before. I can't really have them. I can't peg them lower than second. I just can't.
I'm going for it. I think eventually they have to have a fall from grace. It's impossible. They've made too many bad decisions in the last couple of years. I hated Andre Gomez when he signed for them. I thought that was dumb. I think they'll be third eventually. But I think Atleti second would be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic, yeah.
And if they're in and around the title race for a lot of the season, then that'll just make it even better. If they finish a distant second, that's less good, but also acceptable.
I mean, whoever finishes second will be distant behind this Madrid team. They're just too good.
Probably so.
Copa del Rey, I'm going to say Atleti reach the quarterfinals of the Copa. I mean, it hasn't been tremendously important for them the last few years. They got to the semifinal last year and were pretty close to making the final. They were a goal away from forcing extra time against Barca, but I'm going to say quarterfinals for the Copa.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I think that it's the competition of least importance, and I don't think that they'll be trying too desperately hard. Eventually, you're going to draw one of the tough teams, and it's generally around quarterfinal time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think quarterfinals is probably fine. Winning the Copa is fine. I won't be particularly heartbroken either way when they inevitably will go out, probably.
And now the Champions League.
Yes.
I'm going to keep my expectations grounded. I'm going to say quarterfinals.
Ooh, quarterfinals.
I'm going to say quarterfinals. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that they're going to get fresh blood in January. I'm not sure, assuming Costa comes too, they're going to help. But I don't know how quickly you can get them up to a place where they can fire you to the Champions League final. They can fire you to winning the damn cup at last. I'm going to say quarterfinals. I don't fully believe it, but I'm going to say quarterfinals so I don't get too disappointed.
I think that's fair. I said they would get to the final. I have no prediction on what would happen. But I think that because of the reason, assuming that Diego Costa does come in, I think that because he knows his team, he knows the players, I think that he will fit in quite quickly regardless of how well Vitolo does. So I think that a front line of Diego Costa and Antoine Griezmann and Carrasco would be intense and could rip up some of the best teams in Europe. And I think that for the most part, a lot of teams aren't looking that some of the teams that have been historically strong, I have question marks about. So I think they get to the final. So I am going the opposite of you. Anti-pessimistic. I'm going optimistic as usual. So, yeah, there we go.
I mean, not that I'd be disappointed with another trip to the final.
No, certainly not.
Of course, they just probably lose the final again.
Probably so, and that's why I didn't have a prediction for when they got there.
That's why you're not going to predict it, right? I mean,
yeah, finals are impossible to predict anyway. Yeah. So,
well, last year's wasn't. I certainly saw it coming, but I don't know. I just think Atleti are playing kind of a risky game, counting on those two guys counting on this team to kind of, I guess limp over the finish line, which is January, and then Vitolo and Costa come in, and everything will be fine. It's like a light will switch on. I think that is the plan. It's the best they can do under a registration ban. Number one, don't break the rules. This is what happens when you do. Number two, I think it's a little... ideally, that's what would happen. And reality doesn't often match what you think ideally and what your expectations are.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But also in the Champions League as well, because it doesn't restart until February, I think that they'll have that month of January to sort of blend together to get these guys fully integrated in the squad.
Possibly. So, I mean, Vitolo and Costa will come when they are in the Copa del Rey. Like, their first game will probably be in the Copa del Rey. And you'll get probably more than a month. You'll get close to a month and a half of getting them integrated. And Costa, as you said, probably shouldn't take too long because he's been there. And who knows with Vitolo? I'm optimistic, but who knows with Vitolo?
Yeah, that's kind of a more difficult one to predict. But I think if Diego Costa does come in, I think he'll probably hit the ground running. And I think he'll have a lot to prove, especially in a World Cup year. So,
and he'll have been training
I would bank on that.
He'll have been training for 4 months anyway. So, yeah, you are correct.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, because this is a team that, as we've seen, is very good in knockout competitions.
Yeah.
They've just hit the wall a few times, so.
That white wall.
Yes, that one. That one in particular.
To kind of wrap it up, this is going to be a really interesting season. You have the new stadium, which may or may not open on time. Who knows? We have the new stadium, the new badge, new shirts, perhaps a return for Diego Costa, a team that didn't really lose any big names this summer. You have a team that is pretty much the same as last year with potentially two additions that could make it stronger. It's going to be an interesting season.
Like, yeah, it's hard to know what's going to happen with a lot of these players.
This is not going to be a boring season. I mean, the first few months may seem like a slog at times, but because Atleti just can't bring anyone new in. But this could be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It could be awesome. It could also be kind of a dumpster fire at times.
It could be bad, but I think that I would generally err on the side of keeping a team together that knows each other well is a good thing, rather than chopping and changing a whole bunch of players. Not that Atleti could have done that, but even still,
right.
I think it's good that they have an established squad that know each other well.
So yeah, we knock on wood, we will see what happens. Rob, that is it for our season preview pods. Thank you so much for joining me on both editions.
It was a pleasure previewing what will be an exciting season.
It will be indeed. I'll ask you to stick around for just a second while I wrap things up here. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbberen. That's jbberen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can also subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on your podcasting platform of choice: iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. We also have a Patreon page in the works. That's exciting. So we will let all you know when that gets when that is up and running, and you can follow us over there and give to the show as we give our podcasts to you.
Yes, we give you our joyous voices.
Yeah. You know, I hate hearing myself back. When I play these podcasts back, I hate my voice.
Agreed. I have a hard time ever listening to them. It's a challenge, but I do it.
You will hear our voices again on Saturday. We will be doing a Colts Narrow Chat after the opener against Girona, and that will be exciting. La Liga is less than 48 hours away, folks. The wait is almost over. Until Saturday, adios.